بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت قاب احبار رحمة الله عليه was a Jew and then accepted Islam around the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala would inquire from him about the predictions that are contained in the Torah, the first Khalifa, the second Khalifa, and the third, and so forth and so on. And Kab Ahbar explained that the description of Umar radiallahu anhu is like a fortress built with iron, with steel. But the Khalifa that will come thereafter, then there will be problems. So we see as Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu comes, and there is problems thereafter. We need to understand that the great, the pious, the righteous amongst us are like fortresses. Had Nabi Sam left the world, and then there was the Masla of the Murtaddin and Mani'in Zaka. Many people turned apostate. Many people just refused to pay zakat. And there was a struggle. You had to quell them, suppress them, get them onto line again. Then you see Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, and towards the end, there was a problem, there was a siege laid on his house until he was made shaheed. And the problem goes on. When they had sieged the house of Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, then Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, he addressed those people, those rebels, and he says that your town, Medina Munawwara, was guarded by Malaika. And Malaika were there, their presence was there from the time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered till today. And wallah, if it is that if this Khalifa is killed, Usman Ghani, then it's not going to be good. Malaika were there, the presence was felt. You could see the peace. You could see the serenity and enjoyment of the presence of the Malaika. Now if he's not going to be appreciated, you want to assassinate him, there's going to be problems. Because the system of Allah Ta'ala, that when a Nabi is assassinated, then 70,000 people will be killed in its wake. And if ever a Khalifa of a Nabi, if he is killed, then 35,000 will go. And then we see that Siffin and Jamal, all that pursuing. But in the heat, nobody takes note. We are on the right. Stand up for the right. So everybody feels that I'm on the right and I'm standing up for the right. Whereas the right, they have departed from the right. So we see in this recent past, right, the recent past, and how many great ulama, awliya, all have left the world. Most of them were attached to Hazrat Shaykh Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullahi, Muhammad Abdul Hafiz Sahib, Rasul Salimullah Khan Sahib. Then you see Muhammad Yunus Junpuri Sahib, Muhammad Bashir Mufti Bashir Sahib, Muhammad Badat, all of them, all pillars of strength. One is, it's a great loss to the Ummah, because to get a replacement is not an easy. You can't substitute them. Now the person that had that expertise in the science of Hadith, now to find a replacement for that is not an easy thing. Right. Then you look at Murad Badat Sahib, he was doing 40 siparas every day. Ramadan, no Ramadan, but 40 siparas every day he was doing. So you see these people, and apart from writing kitabs and all that, against the bidah, standing for the truth, standing upon the sunnah. Well, Yunus Sahib, you can't find a replacement. Gone is gone. But can you find a person that is at that level in hadith? Can't find. Well, Badat, can you find a person with that level of piety? You can't find. Well, Abdul Hafiz Sahib, well, Salimullah Khan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, in 27 days he completed the hifz of the Quran Sharif. Then his commentary on the Bukhari Sharif is about the best today in any language besides Arabic. Then his commentary is about the best. Now he's gone recent, all very recent. The Mufti Bashir Sahib, they're all within a period of about 5 months or so, and everybody is just leaving. Right? So it's a moment of worry and concern. Great luminaries are leaving. They are a support, they are a protection, their du'as, their barakat, it protects everybody. It's one person, two persons, but their du'as, their barakat is around. A lot of fitnas that are around, we all safe from that, it's because of their du'as. You see this in a family as well, that one family elder leaves and there's problems. As long as he is around, there's protection, there's peace. But the moment that elder leaves, and then like so all the hell breaks loose. So these elders, moreover, the dini elders, overall all elders, be they elders in any respect, Muslim good elders, in any respect, they are a protection. And when they are broken down, then after that, so now, when these type of situations come about, what are we supposed to be doing? We see these things happening, and we know we can't find a replacement. But how are we supposed to be responding to this type of situations? Do we go in a state of despondency and break hope? That's not the way of a Muslim. لا تيأسوا من روح الله لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't become despondent of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Right. Because becoming despondent and losing hope is the work of a kafir. So you don't become despondent. Then what are we supposed to be doing? There's about three or four duties that we are supposed to be doing after these people. One is to appreciate whoever has done whatever khidmat and service of deen. He was a pillar of strength, a pillar of support, a fortress of protection he was. So to appreciate the person, not to forget the services that he had rendered, the good that he had provided for the ummah, not to forget that. Right. It's going to be the misfortune of the ummah when we begin to run down our elders. We will not say that a person after the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is faultless, is innocent. That is only with the Nabi, that they are ma'asum. There is no nothing, you can't point a finger against them. But as an ummah, what are we supposed to be doing? Think about the good. Uskuru mahasina mawtakum wa kuffu an sayyi'atihim. One passed away, think about the good that he did. And forget the mistakes that he made. Don't talk about that. Talk about the good that he has done. So that will inspire you, encourage you, you'll find a direction. Alright, this is what he did, this is what he did. What can we do about it? If you're going to be speaking ill about that person, he's gone now, there's no way to correct him. You could have pointed out the wrong to the person when he was alive, but now that he's gone, can you point out the mistake? So there's no fayda in speaking about the wrong. Unless it was an open wrong. Now you see, you speak against Qadianism. Although Ghulam Ahmad Qadian is dead and gone, right? But you speak about the wrongs. The reason is that we have to guard the ummah against the evil. So because we need to protect the ummah against the evil, therefore we have to talk about it. But where there is no good in talking about the evil of the man, why do we talk about it? Number two, if we want to talk evil of a person who led his life straight, was all consistent, practicing, right? Made a mistake here and there, right? Some of us have just got angry something. So, but overall he led a straight and a consistent life, right? And we speak ill about him, it doesn't bring any good to us, But yes, it brings about agony and pain on his friends, families, etc. Whoever his friends were, his families now, and you speak about it, your father may have a mistake here and there, but now because of that mistake, must we brush him? Must we paint him with the same brush? One mistake, you can't say that he didn't have any mistakes. One mistake here and there, he must have said something, he slipped up. Now forget all the good and talk about the one evil. Really, it's not on that. Unfortunately, this is what happens today. That when a person makes a mistake, we forget all the good that he's done. The khidmat, the service, whatever good he has been doing, that is forgotten. The one, two mistakes, now we must paint him for that mistake. So the one thing is, we'll talk about the good. Leave the mistakes that anybody had made, especially the one that passed away, we don't talk about it. Number two, we don't become despondent, we don't despair. Right? And when I say we don't despair, though, to find an equivalent substitute, it's impossible. The world is impossible to produce someone. Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullahi had passed on. But did you find a luminary, a personality like him after him? It is within the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala to create such a person. But you can't find a person like him. It's not beyond Allah Pak's Qudrat. Allah Pak can create millions of people like that. But you don't find a person after that. But now when you don't find a person after that like him, then what do you do? If you sit down and cry, you're not going to get anywhere. Right? And if you try and force yourself to be at his level, you can't get there. So, sitting down and crying all the time is not a solution. And trying to come up at his level, I'll only do the work if I come at his level. That is an impossibility, right? Not impossible, but it's an impossibility. The third thing is the right thing, it's a logical thing. Common sense, do how much you can do. These great saintly figures, right? Great guzrus, great, they were geniuses, right? They were big boats or big ships, right? A cruiser taking about 25,000-30,000 passengers. Imagine, it's a huge ship, right? So many thousands of passengers they are taking. They're taking for the shore of safety. Now, if we try to be imitating them, obviously we're a failure. Small little bicycle we are, and we try to imitate that person. So it's not the right thing. Alright? We will do what we can do. We're like a little small lifeboat. The lifeboat can take 20 passengers or 15 passengers. How much we can take to the shore of safety, we'll do. Within our capacity, we'll do. We won't have that attitude that I can't be like him. So don't join the effort. I can't be like him, but the little I can do, my small capacity, my broken effort, let me do what I can do. And who knows, everybody's joint efforts, everybody thinks, we need to work now. Sometimes we understand that Allah Ta'ala is waking you up. When he's taking away these people, he's waking you up. Because you were too long in the slumber. You were too long complacent. Now when these people are gone, now you get shaken up. What to do? Like the father was around, and he took care of the business. He's gone. So all the children are shaken up. Do something. And when he was around, you were all complacent. You were relaxing. Now that he's gone, now you say, I need to do something. So for you, it is a blessing that you got up from your slumber, from your sleep. You got up. Otherwise, you were in the norm of ghaflat, you were. In the state of ghaflat. Now we were there by one of Habibullah Sahib, Champaran. So he was explaining this. It was Buzurgan Adin and Awliya, and they're going away. He says, in the desert, you get a desert storm, Heavy whirlwind you get. And that whirlwind is very heavy. Anything, it'll destroy everything in its wake. It comes, and it'll just go off like that. And as it rises, then there's big destruction, disaster on the earth. So the same happens with these awliya. They're taken up, right? Allah takes them up. But when he takes them up, then there is disaster, there is problems. So in this situation, all of us need to be more apprehensive, more careful, more cautious. Before their duas were there, and they were guarding us. Now that they aren't there, now we need to be on our guard, we need to be apprehensive, we need to be careful. What do we do? What can we do? How much can we do? So, to go on the path of despondency and despair, that is shaitanic. And to try and pretend to be what you aren't, that is also off the course completely, not that. So you can't pretend to be what you aren't. But yes, every person has been built with some type of a capacity. He works according to his capacity. Allah will help him. Who knows? One friend of mine was here. So he was saying, you know, don't you underestimate the Qudrat of Allah. He's a teacher in science and geography and all that. So he's telling me, he's explaining me. So sometimes you get a storm in the Sahara. A heavy storm in the Sahara, right? And the wind rises up. Couple of good 1,000 feet up. Heavy storm. And the storm is carrying, that storm that comes up from the Sahara is actually nourishing and feeding the Amazon. Where's the Sahara and where's the Amazon? Because the species of the plants that you didn't find there in the Amazon and you found in Africa all the time, they are transported by the wind. Labak transports that all by the wind. And not just the plants. No. Even sometimes you find an animal or a lizard species, right? And the pupa is here, or the egg is here, and the storm comes up, it raises it up. Now the next moment you see, that thing came up that side. Where it came up from? You can't trace their origins in this place here. But the storm of Allah, Ta'ala, it nourishes and feeds that. See the top soil that is coming up from here, and plant life, sometimes it's lizard life, etc., right? Reptile. And all is being carried from here, transporting that side. So, it's a teacher on science, so he explained to me the scientific thing. But the lesson I took from that was that in spite of you being insignificant, we are insignificant, right? But we focus with ikhlas, sincerity, we're going on the sunnah, according to the teaching of our elders, we're carrying on. Right? Ma'amulat, our zikr, our Quran Sharif, whatever. A little broken effort, but we're carrying on, we're regulating everything. Whatever is shown to us, we're not falling short. We're doing little things, right? But we're doing in a consistent pattern. Then it is the work of Allah Ta'ala, the athar and the effect of it, He'll pass it on to such a far land, you will be, hey, where it happened? How it happened and where it happened? You're doing it here, that goodness you're doing, you're committed, sincere, trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you consistent in whatever you are being taught. Whatever they told you, either zikr, tilawat, gersh, whatever they told you, talib, you're doing that regularly. But the effect of it will go. Now you don't wait and worry where it's going. That's not your job. That's Allah Pak's work. He will do it in time to come, but are you doing your work? Now what is happening to us is we're saying, Allah Pak, you're doing your work. We are looking, am I doing my work? You look at it, Allah, are you doing your work? That's not right. It doesn't make sense. That's Allah's work, He will do it in His time. But are you doing your work? Are you consistent? Have you got taqwa? Have you got tawakkul? Are you consistent in your work? Whatever been taught to you, are you doing it? See now, there'll be a lot of people with ikhlas, right? And we can't see them, because they look like one of us. But the effect of the work will show out at some place. Now, there was a report just now recently. You got an island like New Zealand, right? And you got the natives of that land, I think they call them Miawar or something, whatever, Maori or whatever. Now, they are the natives of the land, big, very big bird, look how our boars, very big bird. And one person, one Muslim, Pakistani or whatever, he may have been reading Tarawi or whatever, so this Maori saw him. He saw him and he defected him. Affected him, he accepted Islam. As he accepted Islam, then he invited his own wife and children, they accepted Islam. As they accepted Islam, then the family got to know about it. The family accepted Islam, the extended family. When they got to know about it, then the whole street accepted Islam. And as they accepted Islam, the town accepted Islam. But you see that one person and how it affects. So someone is doing some good work at some spot, but be consistent. Don't worry about what the world is saying, who is criticizing, who is condemning. That's not your work. Yes, are you doing your work? What is to be seen is, are you doing your work? And we don't realize this, you know. We feel, I just said something, so what? So what? You say so what? But do you know that one word, what disaster it can bring? That one gossip, one word, one incorrect behavior, but what disaster it can bring about? Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid, when he had an encounter, right? So, he had a lot of difficulty in that encounter. And with a lot of difficulty, a lot of time, then only they overcame the situation. Whoever the enemy was, they smashed the enemy down, but after a long time. Now, after everything is said and done, he's analyzing the situation. Alright, you know what? This was a small little group, but why did it take us so much of time to smash them and throw them down? Whereas other enemies, we had fought them and in short time we had overcome them. Yet it was a small group and it took us so much of time to smash them down. What was the problem? Here we were stronger, we were better, more well equipped, and here we smashed down groups that were far bigger than us. And why was there the delay actually? He analyzed the whole thing, then he came to a conclusion. He says, yes, when we encountered these people, when I saw them face to face, then I thought to myself, what is this? We broke down enemies that were far greater. So what is this? We'll just march over them. We'll just mow them down. March over them. And Allah doesn't like this type of statement. Now why he doesn't like this type of statement? Because this is a reflection of self-admiration. You are thinking that you are doing it. When you are a little bit less, you are weaker, then your trust was in Allah Ta'ala. Now your numbers are greater, so what you think that you are doing it. And when you think that you are doing it, so Allah Ta'ala's assistance is come out from the equation. Now Allah Ta'ala assigns you to yourself. Now go, let's see what you can do. You think too much of yourself, you got the numbers. Let's see what you can do. On that occasion he says, "Wal balaw muwakkalum bil mantik." This calamity comes and the calamity is connected to the tongue. See where the calamities come. The start of the tongue. Tongue means ma bihi al ifadatu, a means of communication. You communicate a message, right? One is with a pen, one is with the tongue, one is with writing, right? So there's so many ways to communicate a message. So many ways to communicate a message. But you're communicating this thing here. So musibat and disaster problems start off from this point. And you think, now what happened? That's why at the time of fitna, Nabi Samad asked us to behave in a certain way. Don't you depart from that. And I saw it, any person that departed from that, he had problems. So, the Bishop is saying, just keep quiet. Don't you use your tongue. The moment a person starts messaging and whatever, receiving or giving, one person is complaining to me, hey, now I decide enough. Hey, my head can't take any more. Yesterday, he was around here in Springbok. He said, hey, my head can't just take any more. So I shouted at him. I told him, I told you at the beginning, you don't receive and you don't pass on. But you was a clever and you thought, no, I can take the thing. I am strong, I'm intelligent, I'm a professional person, so I can do a lot of things. So now see your intelligence where it took you? I said, I just want to die. I can't handle this anymore. So much of your things are just coming up to me that I can't handle it anymore. So the reason I told you from the beginning, why don't you take these things on? This gossip, you don't hear, you don't be active, you don't be passive. Don't receive, don't give out. But you thought you were intelligent, now let's see how far you can go. So the ways of Nabi Sallam are very easy. But then you need to have that yaqeen on his saying that do it. And I must hold to it, and I must hold to it 100%. Don't you then compromise or discount 1%. Do it full. And then you'll see the beauty in it. You'll see with all the fitna, everything that's carrying on, then too you relax. Mentally you relax. Physically you relax. You're not losing composure. Why? Because you held on to the teaching. But the moment you left and you depart from the teaching, you're entertaining this person here, you're entertaining that person, you're entertaining the third person. Now you bring a problem for yourself. The little that you do, now that's left on. That's gone. So now in place of your amal, what come in place of amal? All a gossip. So much of zikr you could have done, so much of tilawat you could have done, so much of mulaqat you could have done, so much of ta'lim you could have done. In place of all that, now what's took the place of all these things here? All the gossip. You're reading or you're passing. Reading. And you think within yourself, the greater disaster, the greater jahalat and ignorance is, right? That ignorance is compound. Because it's a disaster and you don't consider the disaster to be a disaster. It's a problem and a person doesn't consider the problem to be a problem. So it's a compounded problem. Jahal al-murakkab is compounded. One is I know it's a problem, I'm identifying, I want to leave it. And one is a problem and you don't consider, you don't treat the problem as a problem. So you're compounding the problem. The little that you were doing, you're not doing now. But where you started from, the reason that don't you open your tongue. You control your tongue. Just stay in your house, keep to yourself. You know you can't handle it, then why must you act brave? Why must you start it off? Tanvi Sahib Rahman says, that I was in Kanpur. He gives a lot of his encounters, you know, experiences of Kanpur. So he was in Kanpur, and there was some problem in the time of the English, before 47, or maybe 1930s, 1940s, whatever. So there's a problem, and in that whole problem now, this whole commotion, like how you have it now, one person is saying this, one person is saying this, all the commotion carrying on. And when there's a commotion carrying on, nobody wants to listen to the other. Everybody says, what I'm thinking is right. But the stance that I've taken is that, well, you don't know anything. I know more than what you know. You know what happens in Spingo, I know it in 1 second's time, I know about it. So he boasts about the gossip that he's got. What happens in Overboard, 1 second time, I know it. Straight away, I get the apps and all that. I get everything straight away. So, is it a thing to be boasting and bloating about? Or is it something to be depressed about? It's not a thing to be bloating and boasting about. It's something to be depressed. What information have you got? Have you got something about the Quran, about the Hadith? You read a little bit more Quran Sharif. You understood the ayat now like you never understood. That is the thing. Allah Pak says, بِفَضْلِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلِيَفَرْحُ. When you're supposed to be rejoicing, boasting, then about the grace of Allah Ta'ala and His mercy. And what is the grace of Allah Ta'ala's mercy? The Quran and the Hadith. And I say it in a different words. I say do tilawat and do talim. Tilawat is the Quran Sharif. Talim is the Hadith. Just explained by a muhaddis. Muhaddis is giving talim, is giving a hadith and is explaining it. So Quran and hadith. This is the thing that you're supposed to be rejoicing about. Now the thing that you're supposed to be rejoicing about, that's out of the house. It's gone out. Calculated out of the house. You did talim? No. You did Quran Sharif tilawat? No. Zikr in the house? No. Hey, but you know what happened? This happened. But is this stupidity or not? I ask you. You are in the house of Allah. I ask you, is this stupidity or not? What Allah Pak and His Rasul Sallam is saying that you must be rejoicing about that. That we are not rejoicing, that we are not talking about. But He's asking us to leave out something that we are holding on to that and we are rejoicing about that. Yeah, this person said this. Yeah, he said this and he said this. You know, our numbers, we will march these people over. See what Khalid did and what he's talking about. We'll just march over them. We'll just run them down. What he said and what was the aftermath? He said, hey, you know, we had such a problem, we couldn't just quell them, we couldn't just run them over. We had smaller groups, we had just marched over them. And here we had an encounter, we couldn't just march over them. One word. See this, وَالْبَلَاوُ مُوَكَّلُمْ بِالْمَنْتِكِ. This disaster is connected to your tongue. The day you open your tongue, and then you got it. The day you open your tongue and you got problems. يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah Pak is on your side, nobody can overturn you. Nobody can do anything. وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ. And if Allah Ta'ala forsakes you, then, now are you looking how to gain the support of Allah Ta'ala? Are you looking at that? Or we look at something else? We are supposed to be looking, how do we get Allah Ta'ala into this? And how do we? One is, we will begin to talk about these things in our private circles. Then if you see someone, then you try and run him down. See, it's a factory of gunas. Then you like ghibat about him. Yeah, you know him. He's like this. It's always like this. We'll run the person down. It's a whole factory of guna industry. Shaitan has just opened out. And he must be dancing. Hey, see, I got all these people. How I got, I wanted, I got them all. I got him in ghibat. I got him in gossiping. I got him in messaging. I got him with his phone. He thinks, hey, he's the man of the time. He's smart. How he circled everybody, made everybody into a circus. And then he's sitting outside, he's dancing away. See that? So, he'll confuse your minds to a point that you will feel that the wrong you're doing is right. But he come back. The Wisdom said, you keep yourself under control. Don't you open your tongue. Friend or no friend, don't discuss it. Khalas. See that the hadith says, مَنْ تَشَرَّفَ لَهَا إِسْتَشْرَفَتْ لَهُ. You just peep, you know, just look. That fitna will just pull you. The words of the hadith. You just peep, and then the fitna will pull you. I say this hadith is so well applicable to these phones. You just peep and that thing attracts you. Does it happen or not? I ask you. You just look into it and then it pulled you. And then can you break away? I ask you, after you have peeped, you have become addicted to it, can you break away? So the word of the hadith, see the strength of the word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, please, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, have that yaqeen, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he says. مَن تَشَرَّفَ لَا إِسْتَشْرَفَتْ لَهُ. You will just peep, you just look for a moment, and that thing will pull you out. Then you can't help yourself. Then you've gone so deep, you can't come out. Then you want to hear more and more and more what's happening. Simple thing, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, simple thing, don't you entertain these things here. You be in control of your tongue, you remain in your house. And instead of knowing what he said and what that person said, يبكي على خطيئتي, you cry over your sins, think what wrong have I done? Hey, what mess up I have caused? What mess up? I got my history, the past, from the age of 14, 15, what wrongs have I done? How many namaz I have missed out? And my namaz, has it got khushu? Or in my namaz I'm fighting with people. Or in my namaz I'm making ghibat. What next ghibat to do? And when I can make the next ghibat on the phone? Or I can listen to the next ghibat? Are you doing that in your namaz or not? Think to yourself. So this is the thing that you're supposed to be embroiled in. But when you depart from the sunnah, then this is what happens. Then your mind gets confused, you're perplexed, you're worried, filled of agony. You can't maintain composure. It comes at this point. So Mawar said there was a big commotion carrying on in Kanpur. And he saw the whole thing until some people came and approached him. So Mawar says, when they approached me, then I explained to them, it's pointless you talking out against your leaders, because the hearts of the leaders is in the hand of Allah Ta'ala. He is the control. He is controlling the hearts. When he's controlling the hearts, then you go back to the control. Now you're playing around with them. They are just the equipment. They are just the front. And the control is somewhere else. So you left the control and you went to the equipment. Now, you're not getting lights coming in. You're trying to play with the globe. But you're playing with the globe, you're never getting anywhere. Go back to the powerhouse, go and see what happened. There must be an interruption somewhere on the line that's causing this thing here. You're not getting that supply. Yeah, you're supposed to get. You're not looking at that. Are you looking, trying to fix the globe? Is it making sense? So go back to the control. And with heart and with soul, I just leave this thing out now. and put it up into your phone, right, count me out, or do whatever you want to do. I've got that yaqeen, the word of Nabi Sam, I'll listen to that. I heard you people out, and I'm getting fed up. My life is getting into a misery. The more I'm listening to you all, the more I'm getting into a problem. I experimented this, I am remorseful for doing this thing here. Now you just count me out, you all do what you all want to do. I'm going on this line here. See, the way of Rasulullah is the way of afiyat. The way of our elders is the way of afiyat. They don't listen, they don't entertain, they don't talk about it. Yes, there are elders amongst, in every community, there are seniors, there are elders. They will give us a direction, what we're supposed to be doing. So when they are elders, they can take it. Right? Why did Allah Pak say, وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ? There are some people that can take these things here. They'll give you that type of direction, but do you listen to them? Or you feed them, this is what happened here, this is what happened here, this is what happened here. By stupidity, real stupidity. Whether Ramadan, out of Ramadan, time of Tilawat, Quran, you know, all this discussion comes up again. In the time that you discuss, you could have read 2 siparas. When you touch the grave, then you say, Lawla akhartani, Allah, give me some few moments. For more gossip. So Mawla says that I was there in Kanpur and this thing is carrying on. Now they came to me. So I told him, see, this pointless, all this discussion you are doing is all pointless. You want to make a protest and march and all these things here, it's all a waste of time. Kuch nahi hoga, nothing will happen. What must we do then? He said, go back to the control. Go and see now. Go and fix yourself up with the control. You go and see now why you have disaligned. Why is the alignment broken out? You're not getting that, you're not receiving that type of energy. Now go and see, there must have been a problem why you're not receiving that energy. Yeah, Mustafa Muhammad explains that incident of that Abdul Rahman coming from, going to Multan. Abdul Rahman going to Multan. And he didn't break the hadith. He just went against his sheikh. The sheikh's teaching was, you go to Multan. En route he began to fix up people. Like the Jamaat is sent to go and work, for example, in Johannesburg. They're working in Maritzburg. They must be off for them to go to Maritzburg, isn't it? They were dispatched to go and work, specifically go and work in Johannesburg. Who asked you to work in Maritzburg? But working in Maritzburg, is it a guna? It's not a crime. You can't ask the Emir Sahib, you know what? But it's not a crime, it's not a guna. Which kitab is written that working in Maritzburg is a guna? But they didn't listen to the head. Right. Amir, whatever the Amir said, you're supposed to be carrying out the instruction, whether it came to your mind or didn't come. But he gave you a route, you must follow the route. So the same happens in Tasawuf also, that Sheikh or that Buzurg or that saintly person need to you do a certain thing. Then when he's instructed you do it, then you must do it. Al-Mawt Thamis Abrahamullah says, this can be disastrous, you see. That sheikh, that great senior person told you something, and you don't carry out the instruction, the problems that you can bring about. Sometimes, it is the sheikh that is giving you that instruction, and sometimes the sheikh now is so great, that he gets inspiration from Allah Ta'ala directly. Do this and don't do this. See, so one is people like us, we will get inspiration from our elders, and our elders, many a times, they get inspiration from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, right? So, the sheikh is in ibadat, as he's in ibadat, and he hears that a certain person has come, pious person has come. So, the thought went to his mind, let me go and see him. He received an inspiration, don't go and meet him. Now then, his mind is getting puzzled, okay, but it's a pious person, it's a saintly person, why shouldn't I go and meet him? So, he stands up to meet him. But the thought comes and he sits down for the first time, second time, third time. The third time or the fourth time he says, no, let me go. Let me go and meet the person. But he's receiving his inspiration, don't go. So when he got up to go now, the third time or the fourth time, after receiving that inspiration, he slipped, he fell and he broke his leg, he couldn't go. Later on he discovered that person that you thought to be a pious person, he was a bidati. Right? When it's a bidati, you're going to meet him would have been a problem for you. Why would it have been a problem? It would have been a problem because people will see that you are respecting his bidati. He's in bidat. And you're going to show him that respect. When you're going to show him that respect, right, they will also fall into bidat. Hey, this man here is respecting this bidati, so what's wrong in the bidati? Let me also go and meet him. See? So won't it then confuse people? People say, no, but if it was wrong, then this saintly person wouldn't have gone and meet him. The fact that he's meeting him shows that he's also a saintly person, therefore he's given him that type of a recognition. So sometimes when you don't listen to this, then you fall into problems. I know in 79, 80, the siege of Makkah Mukarramah, right? I won't mention the Buzruk's name. Right? So we were in Makkah, at that time we were also trapped, right? So there was another group of people, all Buzruks and Muris and everything, right? But the Hazrati told them, you must leave. I won't tell the names, right? Hazrati told them, you must leave. Rahmatullah alayhi. But they stayed over and they fell into problems. They met up with Mawlana Faqirullah Khan Sahib from Peshawar. And they didn't even discuss one word. Now Mawlana Faqirullah was a great saintly person, right? So he told them straight. They didn't discuss anything with him. He said, aap logon ne apni sheikh ki baat nahi mani, to tum musibat mein phas gaye. You all didn't listen to your sheikh, now you all fall down in problems. He told them straight. Now, I met this, both the groups I met. I met Mawlana Faqirullah Sahib. I know these people here also. Great Buzruk, a lot of falling, hundreds and thousands of falling they got. But at that time, this man will stay in Makkah and you make more tawaf and umrah, whatever. Niyat is good. But the sheikh told them, what? Now you'll leave. They didn't leave. And the next moment, they fell into two problems. See? So this manne ka jazba hamare andar nahi hai. Really, when I look at our crowd, you know, maybe it's worldwide, maybe it's specific to this country, but that manne ka jazba nahi hai. That to listen to elders, listen firmly, listen to them, follow their teaching, that's not in us. Although the intelligence is there, you can't doubt the intelligence. Intelligence is there. Lekin wo hushyari kis kaam ki? If you can't follow, then that hushyari of yours is of no use. See, the world has got great, great scientists, right? But the greater the scientist, the greater the atheist. The more the scientist, the greater the atheist. How many scientists can you show me that have accepted the truth? And where did they go wrong? Do you ask yourself, where did they go wrong? They went wrong at this point. I thought about this thing very carefully, then I'm presenting it to you. They went wrong at this point. They thought to themselves, if there was a God, then it would have appeared, we would have thought about it. لَوْكَانَ خَيْرًا مَا سَبَقُونَ إِلَيْهِ. See what the kafirs told that time, 2,000 years ago. The kafirs in this age also say the same thing. لَوْكَانَ خَيْرًا مَا سَبَقُونَ. See these people here. بَادِيَ الرَّعِ. No intelligence, surface intelligence. If this was right, what they are doing, then these people wouldn't have excelled us. They would have gone first. So they based it on these people's inferior intelligence. لَوْكَانَ خَيْرًا مَا سَبَقُونَ. If there was any good in this, then they wouldn't have excelled us. So they wanted that hidayat must just come to them. They must be just graced. They must appeal to them. Their minds was accepted. Whereas they didn't realize, يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَى. That special grace is the grace of Allah Ta'ala. He gives it to whomsoever He pleases. He can give it to Bilal radiallahu anhu. He can give it to Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu. He can give it to Salman Farsi. He can give it to anybody. It's not based on your intelligence. It's based on the grace. So, you leave the grace, you get disgraced. And you ask for the grace, He will grace you. It's left to you. Do you ask? Do you beg for it? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُدِيُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah Pak says that if you are good, Allah Pak won't destroy you. You try to be good. You ask, you beg, you humble. You humble yourself, you lower yourself. Now that scientists can't do it. So, no, I must be able to exploit. I must be able to reach the thing. If my mind reaches it, then I'll accept it. Other than just going to leave it out. Who are you? You're a non-entity. In this whole administration, you're nothing, absolutely nothing.
You need to beg like others are begging. You beg, you will get it. So anyway, when this whole thing was carrying on in Kanpur, someone said, no, this is not going to work out. What must do then? So Mohan said, see, as you humble yourself, you lower yourself before Allah Ta'ala, you ask and you beg, you cry to Him, He'll open out things for you. But koi lene wala hai, is there any takers? Is there any person that's crying, any person that is lowering himself, any person that's trying? So I was telling one person, one of the elders of the Jamaat, by all the mashwara, everything in its place, but is there anybody that's crying for Allah Ta'ala? Any person that is in tilawat, zikr, begging of Allah Ta'ala? So as I'm explaining to him, he's saying, yeah, but Abdul Wahab said the same thing. The 2 hours you must spend in crying and trying, asking Allah Ta'ala. So that elders, what teaching he's giving, he's left out, he's sidelined, and we are employing our own mind, our own reasoning. So how can the help of Allah Ta'ala come? Then the more you will do, the more you will get confused, more. Masla aur pechida ho jayega. Be more and more complicated. Then you will blame that person, he'll blame you. More and more complicated. But the complication is coming, why? You're not listening to your elders. I told him up front that this is what he's supposed to be doing. He told me that by Abdullah said the same thing. That simple thing doesn't apply. The simple thing doesn't appeal. The complicated thing appeals. The thing that is complicated, that appeals. But the simple thing, cry to Allah Ta'ala, beg Him, ask for forgiveness, go on to your knees, that doesn't appeal to you. No, my brains, I must knock him down. And he will say the same, no, he must knock you down. So where will this thing end? Do what they told you. Cry. 2 hours cry, the musalla, in your own time, but cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg His assistance. Otherwise, these people, what will they say? See, in dini work, it's all levels. Business class, non-business, everybody will say. The business class will say, we also fight in our business with our competitors. They're also fighting. So what's the difference between us and them? He's looking at it at a different level. He says, oh, they're fighting like us. We are fighting also. We're selling margarine, he's selling margarine. So we're fighting. They're fighting also. So they look at you differently. So you'll complicate the matter even worse. So the simple thing was cry to Allah Ta'ala, beg Allah Ta'ala. Look at your own faults. I need to correct myself. I need to come online. I need to come on cause. So Mohan explained to them that, see, in this administration of the world also, you have awliya, right? That do the intizam of the world with their duas, kutub, abdal, etc. And he gave an incident. He says, a student of Hazrat Mohan Abdul Aziz Sahib, rahmatullahi Dehlavi, he wanted to see now this type of people whose du'as save a lot of fitnas and disaster, etc. You know, I want to go and meet one of these people here. So Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib told him, alright, you go to this place here in Delhi and you'll find one person. Right? And perhaps he'll be selling water. In hot days, they have that leather bags and they're selling water. So you'll find a person at this spot here, he'll be selling water, you go to him and ask, and you just buy some water from him, under some pretexts. So he went up to him, by ek pyala paani chahiye, came on. So he drank about 3/4 and said, isme kuch tinka hai, threw the thing, I want another glass. So kuch nahi, came another glass. He drank the thing and threw it, give me another glass. He emptied the person's whole container, got his money back. So he came and reported the whole case to the Shah Sahib. So Shah Sahib said, oh, that is why the whole administration in Delhi is going upside down. Because the one that is in charge of the making the dua, he's not right. He's not thinking right. When he's not behaving right, so he's not making the right type of dua. So the whole administration is going off. Anyway, after some time, the student says, no, I want to go meet that buzrug, some buzrug that is in charge of this type of things. So they go to that spot. Now he won't be selling water, he'll be selling something else, some fruit or some guava or something. So he went there and he bargained with the person, I want to buy some guava. So he ate about half the guava, he said, hey, it's not good, man. Threw the thing, give me another guava. Hey, give me your money. He's reluctant, you know. Threw the money and gave him one slap. And he says, Tune mujhe वो पानी वाला की तरह समझ रखा है. यू थिंक आई लाइक दैट पर्सन वॉज गिविंग वॉटर. यू पे अप. यू रिपोर्ट ऑफ द होल थिंग टू शाह साहब. दिस पर्सन यू हैज अ डिफरेंट एनकाउंटर. यू गिव वन शॉट. यू गॉट इज मनी एंड ही चेज मी अवे. अच्छा, इस वजह से दिल्ली का इंतजाम सही चल रहा है. ही इज हार्ड, ही इज क्लियर, ही इज फर्म. सो द होल एडमिन इज गोइंग वेल. दैट पर्सन वॉज गड़बड़. सो एडमिन वॉज गोइंग अपसाइड डाउन. नाउ ही केम राइट. सो व्हेन यू टर्न टू अल्लाह ताला, अल्लाह ताला विल टर्न द हार्ट्स, whether it was the king or this Buzurgan, he'll turn the hearts in your favor. When he'll turn the hearts, the right type of duas will come, the whole admin will go right. But you're going and playing with all this, with the gloves, whereas you're supposed to be looking at the wire, looking at the powerhouse, that you didn't go and sort out. So what I told them at the end, what I suggest personally, what you're supposed to be doing, is look for the ways whereby you will draw the assistance of Allah Ta'ala. And one simple procedure, you can start off, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Right? Because I translate it in a simple way, you can't gain and you can't guard yourself. Without His leave and permission, you can't gain any good you can't gain. Nor can you guard yourself against any disaster, any problem, without His will. Without His will, without His permission, without His grace, you can't make progress and you can't guard yourself as well. Forget anybody else, you can't guard yourself. So you need Him to be assisting you. So I suggest, Mona says, you know, do this 500 times every day. Everybody in the homes, you got a family, 5 people, 4 people, 3 people, sit down and complete that. Make dua after that. Make dua, you make 500 times, seeing a whole commotion carrying on. You're part of the ummah. Aren't you part of the ummah? But you're seeing a problem going on. So doesn't it hurt you? If it doesn't hurt you, then you don't have feelings for Islam. As a Muslim, you're supposed to be feeling for others. Now what will you do? You just do this 500 times. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Because spread it out, if you've got 5 people in the family, 100 each, how long will it take you? You know, it will be easier for you than you printing something in your phone. That printing in your phone will take you time. The la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah will take you less than 4 minutes. Do it. And 5 people do it. Otherwise, you got it. And then you cried. One tear. You don't know, one tear may just fix everything up. Just one tear. If you can put up the fire of Jahannam, then can't it sort this problem out? So anyway, Mullah said, I explained them this thing here. And they took it on. See that the Zamana before us, people perhaps were not so intelligent. Whatever the elders told, they listened to them. Now we are super intelligent, so we don't listen. No elder is an elder now. No saintly person is a saintly person now. We all buzruks. We all intelligent. We all saintly. Nobody can tell us. We can read between the lines. We are super intelligent. We don't need anybody. We can do our own things. See? So Mullah says they did it, and under a month the whole thing was sorted out. You see. So where was the problem? The problem was we were not connecting to Allah Ta'ala. We're thinking we are smart. Self-confidence, self-esteem, you know, self-admiration, all these things is robbing you, is depriving you of the help of Allah Ta'ala. You think you are something, admiring yourself, you're boasting about yourself, though you're not saying it, but in your mind these things are running in, right? I can stand, I can say things, I can do things. So when you have that type of attitude, then you are depriving yourself of Allah Ta'ala's special mercy. And when the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is going away from you, then you assign to yourself. Then how can things ever work out? A simple procedure, do your talim in the house, make zikr, lose la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, but with that meaning, nothing can happen, no. Without His grace, you can't get any gain, you can't guard yourself. You can't gain anything, whether it's worldly, whether it is dini, whether it is spiritual, whether it is mahabbat, nothing you can gain without His grace. Nor can you guard yourself against any wrong, any evil, any problem, any sin. You can't guard yourself. You can't be proud about yourself. That, see, I don't misuse my eyes, I don't misuse my ears. But it's Allah Pak that is making it happen. He's guarding your tongue, He's guarding your eyes. You don't know, as great as you are, in a second Allah can just cause you to capsize. 1 second you just capsize. Don't we hear about these stories? Great buzrugs. And then one second time and the whole thing is capsized. Right? So, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah 500 times. And we can do it in the confines of our homes. Do it, everybody do it with heart and soul. Cry to Allah Ta'ala. Who knows that certain amount has to reach Allah Ta'ala. We are pleading to Allah Ta'ala, begging Allah Ta'ala, our hearts in the same direction. And the whole thing can be ironed out. Either we are too busy in all this messaging, or we're commenting. One is that group is messaging, another group is commenting. See what they're doing. But do the thing that is positive. Simple procedure. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq.